6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Studio B, it's the Jonathan Wright Show. Find it right here at revolution.radio.
Damn it.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world.
Unbelievable.
The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song, talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Within the darkened shadows of the government halls lies the truth. A truth waiting for a voice. And now, broadcasting to you at the speed of light, from her mobile command unit somewhere on the celestial highway, the host of hyperspace, Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris Blue Raven.
Wanna take a ride? Take a ride.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Hyperspace Night Files here on Revolution Radio. I'm your host, Solaris Blue Raven, and you are listening to Studio A. We are listener supported, so if you like what you're hearing, click the donate button. We appreciate your support. And thank you for any contribution you can make this excellent station here on revolution.radio. You know, my screen is black here on Skype, Kevin, so heads up, it's black. So anyways, hopefully you can hear me and the listeners can hear me. If you cannot, let me know. But let me introduce you to my wonderful guest. And I hear the lovely bird in the background. Kevin Estrella has been welcomed deep into the UFO community after having his own firsthand encounter with something not of this world. Kevin is the guitarist and composer of the instrumental rock band Pyramids on Mars, a combination of elements of hard rock, industrial, and metal infused with lead guitar melodies inspired by violin melodies of Baroque classical composers J.S. Bach and Antonio Vivaldi. Kevin has always had a passion for UFOs, extraterrestrials. He spent over 20 years researching to understand why they are here. Kevin wanted to combine his passion of music with raising consciousness and awareness of the UFO and extraterrestrial presence. He felt it was always his purpose in life. The calling was confirmed or affirmed on August 21, 2014, when he had contact with an interdimensional craft of unearthly origin. Since then, Kevin began experiencing many other related incidents like incredible synchronicities. Boy, am I doing neurolinguistics today. Music downloads, symbol downloads through dreams, neck illusions, DNA double helix, which I love, design on his guitar, and increased telepathy. His musical downloads are discussed in UFO researcher Grant Cameron's book, Tuned in the Paranormal World of Music. Many of Kevin's personal CE5 encounters are discussed in Inviting ET by Sue Walker. Kevin has become very involved with Sandia Wisdom on Twitter. You paid attention to that one. Extraterrestrials using Twitter who reside in a complex under the Sandia Mountains of Albuquerque, New Mexico. He works very closely with the Sandia ETs. Sandia has given Kevin several upgrades and downloads and has visits from him on a weekly basis, and Kevin has been a featured guest on over 100 UFO radio talk shows.
Well, it's 90, but that's good. It's
cool. 100. So your website is pyramidsonmars.com. He also has pyramidsonmars.bandcamp and you can go in there, and I believe that's still active, if I'm not mistaken. It's such a pleasure to have you here, Kevin. I was going to play your music, and my screen is black, so I can't share the screen with you to play the music, which is kind of a drag. I mean, I could try to play it, but unless I share the screen, people can't hear it properly. I know. I don't think it's an accident, but anyways, well, welcome to the show.
Glad to be back. Love it. One of my favorite shows to be on.
Well, thank you. Always saying that. Checks in the mail.
Oh, yeah. You said that the last time, too.
Did you get it?
I got the check. Yeah, I got the check.
Oh, right. $100 billion. No. Dr. Evil. I'm just teasing. But it is wonderful to have you. Yeah, likewise. You're one of my favorites, too. It's just always a pleasure to have you here, and you're so talented. I do want to play your music. I don't know if there's anybody out there in the producer realm who can help us, but unless I reboot the system entirely, I don't know how I'm going to be able to get in here because my screen's entirely black. This has happened before.
So weird.
Do you have anything you can see, right?
Me?
Like, can you see? What do you have on your screen over there?
Let me take a look here. On my Skype screen.
Is it regular Skype?
Let's see here.
Because I was going to say, you could share screen too, and then you could play it on your end.
Let me just take a look here. Let's see what we got here. Studio A, Delta.
Well, he's going to pull the... Well, you can see then. Oh, there, I see you. Well, I see your picture, but I can't see anything else. I just saw you live for a microsecond.
That's me. Okay, let's take a look here. That's okay. I see it says live is using a device that could record or broadcast this call.
Well, see, you're fine. It's me. I'm all black over here. So literally my screen is black on Skype. I can't see a thing, which is very odd. It's happened before.
That is weird.
It's happened before. It's happened with Tina, and it's happened here. So anyways, you know where it says share video? Or share screen.
Get
in there and share and play your music, and then just hit audio.
I might be okay. See, share screen.
Screen. I'm making you produce today.
I'm working on it.
Great, by the way. He has a video up, everybody.
Let's see here.
No pressure, screen really. Broadcast. I just want to play your music.
Yeah. Oh, now it's recording, and that's not what I wanted.
Oh no, we don't want that. No, it's to your right. It's share screen, and then it should have.
Yeah, I hit the share screen, but...
And it should, like, basically pull us all in. Do you see anything? It should be like a frame. It's going to say screen. Share audio. Does it say, do you see anything?
Yeah, when I hit the share screen, it just says... Oh, wait.
This is a bummer.
No, it's not. It's just making me record something that I don't want to record.
Okay, so yeah. I want you to do that. All right, so I don't know if I can, if I have to reboot, that would take a few minutes, and I don't know if you want to do that or not. It's entirely your call. You guys, what do you want to do?
I'm totally cool with
anything. Okay, do you want me to just reboot the system?
Sure, why not?
All right, you guys, I'm very sorry, but I'm going to have to reboot because I do want to play some music of Kevin's. This is a real sabotage, if you ask me. So anyways, all right, Kevin, I'll let you go. I will call you back in a few minutes, okay?
Yep.
So we'll do. Okay, bye.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to... What a day, huh? Really been one of those trying days, but we're back online, I think, and finally have everything kind of straightened out here. So let's just make sure that we're getting out now, and we'll be good to go. Well, I realize we have a delay, so that I'm using my iPod and my phone both. Boy, it's been a weird kind of a day. But anyway, we've got everything kind of nailed down now. And just make sure I'm getting out. Well, it's really strange. I'm not picking anything up on my iPhone, and even though I'm on the iPod, but should be getting out. Really a strange day. Oh, I don't know. Oh, boy. Weather can create many, many problems, that's for sure. I don't know. I just, I'm not able to pick it up on, let me see here. Let me check one thing. See if that make it, maybe make a difference. I don't know. Well, let's try that and see how it works. See if that make it, maybe make a difference. I don't know. Okay. I'm going to do a 1, 2, 3 test and see if that gets you.
Well, let's try that and see how it works. See if that make it, maybe make a difference. I don't know.
Going on here? Hello? There's an echo. Fuck this. Oh, fuck. God damn it. There it goes again. Boy, this is just a joke and a half right now. What's your fucking problem, Skype? Just reset the motherfucking thing. Honestly, done. The fuck is...
Well, we'll try it again, see if... I don't really know what's going on today, but hopefully we're back on, and it is TGIF, it is Friday, and this is normally the time that I do the show on Friday, so I don't know where the mix-up have gotten, but anyway, I apologize for all of that, and let's see
well,
if we're...
we'll try it again, see if I don't really know what's going on today. But hopefully we're back on, and it is TGIF, it is Friday, and,
yeah, it does seem like we're on air now, and really apologize for all of the, whatever, just, sometimes, technical issues and weather issues and other issues, always something, seems like, will crop up, but anyway, I think we're back on, and boy, it's been an eventful time with all the storms and weather and all the events going on, and so let's just all kind of calm down, take a deep breath, and we'll get through this, and we'll be better off having done so. It really takes a pretty good bit to upset me and get me off track, but you know, when it deals with technical issues and things of that nature, it can get a little bit aggravating and what have you, but anyway, it seemed like we're running now, and I'm going to check my phone now to make sure that we're getting out good, and then we'll continue.
So
yeah, seems like that the sound's good and everything. It's been a
I'm live because it's frozen again.
The person you are trying to reach is unavailable. Please leave a message after the tone. When you have finished, please hang up. You've reached the maximum length for voice messages. Goodbye.
Black screened again. God damn it. Okay, guys, this is where it's at. Unfortunately, Kevin, I can't play your music at all because this stupid screen keeps going black. This is not on my end, by the way. There's something wrong here. We were fine until there's something going on. End of story. This has happened before on live audio and live video, and I don't know what it is. It's not my computer, so it's something else going on. And unfortunately, I cannot do a shit freaking thing about it to play your music tonight. So sorry. I'm sorry I'm pissed off, but now I'm really fucking, excuse my French, really angry. Really angry. Dragon's out now. Dragon's out. So thanks a lot, assholes. Thanks for the bullshit. Okay? You're ruined by a show, and you're going to pay for it. All right, Kevin.
No problem.
It is a problem, but go ahead. I can't get any video. I can't get any audio. I can't see you. It's black again.
Yeah.
So enough is enough. Anyways, where do you want to start? First of all, I'd like to say to the assholes who keep sabotaging, I'm coming for you, bitch. I'm coming for you. Okay? Keep that in mind. That's all I'll say about that. Because this is not an accident. Okay? It's not an accident at all. There was nothing wrong with my Skype, and I've seen this before, and people want to sabotage the radio show. It's happened on Hyperspace, and it's happened over here a few times, and I'll tell you what, man, it's going to end yesterday, and I'm hunting you down, bitch, wherever you are. Okay, that's it. I'm sorry now. My wonderful guest, Kevin. We're not going to reschedule tonight. We're not doing it, but I tell you what, I am going to play your music next time I'm live when I have an option to do so. I'll play that one that they keep banning on YouTube, for, as a matter of fact, and that was the one I was going to play.
How yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I can kind of talk a little bit about that song.
Yeah, why don't we go there? Yeah, let's talk about the song I was going to play before the sons of bitches decided to screw me up. Go ahead.
Yeah. The song we were going to play is actually off of my fourth CD, Cosmic Angels. The song is called Luftpanzer, which is German for air tanks. And the song is about the secret space program, and about the reverse engineering of UFO technology that the Germans had, that is taboo talk in, you know, but most people don't know about, that the Germans actually, when they say it to you, I'm sure everybody knows the band Foo Fighters. Well, where did the Foo Fighters get their name from? It's because it wasn't that the U.S. Air Force were seeing. Well, they may have been seeing real UFOs, but there was a lot of them were actually German saucers. And they called them Foo Fighters. And they were real. The Germans had reverse engineered UFOs called Hanabus and Hanabu 2s. And so there's a history behind that. So I decided to write a song about it. And Solaris saw the video.
Oh, yeah,
so what
awesome.
I had done... What I had done is I'd taken all this World War II footage from these dogfights, World War II dogfights, and then I combined it with some existing photographs of the Hanabus, these reverse engineered Nazi UFOs, and using special effects, I was able to then take the still images and then turn them into video and make it look like a dogfight where, you know, the planes are fighting these UFOs. So it's a cool video. It really is. The song itself, though, was actually influenced by the band Tool. So, I wanted the song to kind of sound like a hidden track off of the Undertow album. So that's the second release from Tool.
Okay.
So, but the other cool thing about that song was that it was written in one take. So I sat down, picked up my guitar, and I wrote the whole song in the first take. No edits. Zero edits. So what you hear is what you get. The whole thing came out in one take. And that's the thing. That's the way I write my music, it has to, the song has to tell a story. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's, you know, I'm an instrumental guitar player, but my music, I want it to say something, to have us to tell a story. And, you know, there's a lot of instrumental guitar players out there, but the one thing that, you know, everybody does their own thing, which is great. You know, you can do your own thing. And there's a lot of guitar players who like to solo a lot. And so their songs are kind of set up in structures where it's kind of like this, almost like a long, long jam with an open space for them to basically show off their guitar abilities. Mm-hmm. But I don't write my music like that. You know, I don't write long periods of pieces where it's like just the same chord going all over again and the same chord progression giving me a whole open space so I can just, like, you know, wank off. I don't do that. And I've had a lot of magazine reviews of my music. And that's one of the things that the people who have done the reviews have made a comment. Yeah, for instrumental rock, my music is not guitar wankery. You know, lots of soloing. Mm-hmm. That kind of turns me off. As much as I love guys like Steve Vai, and, you know, I'm not going to mention other guitar players because I don't want to be prejudiced. I personally can't listen to guitar music that has a lot of soloing in it because I just get bored.
Agreed.
You know, there's like a million and one guitar players out there who can do that kind of stuff, and I don't care about that. You know, I do what I do, but
you're very unique.
Yeah. My music has to say something. I want to hear a song, dude. At the end of the day, I want to hear a song. I don't want to hear some guitar wankery. You know, I can do that on my own time if I want to, but I'm not going to record an album of guitar wankery. Very true. When I write a music, the melodies speak, and any average listener will be able to listen to my music, and the melody, they'll be able to hum the melodies. And I knew that I was on the right track with my kind of music that I write when my kids would come in the car and they'd make a request saying, "Dad, would you put on Echo Cosmic? Can I put on Echo Cosmic?" And they're in the back there and they're singing the whole song with the guitar melodies. Like they're just singing the whole thing. And I realized, wow, I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Because if they can remember it that easily, means that lots of other people can remember it, because that's what it's about. And that is actually the teachings of the Ponte. When we talk about ETs who I've worked with, the Ponte, that's what they were teaching me, was about tonal languages. Mm-hmm. And first came about with Thera, who came to Earth back in 2017, and her specialty is in the tonal language of the cetaceans and whales. And I asked her if I could learn this. And she said, yes, it is possible. And they eventually gave me this download of learning this tonal language. But I also was taught by Tini, who was one of the older Ponte. And then she was teaching about tonal languages. And I might as well just read what she wrote, because it makes more sense. This is kind of like a prayer. It's like a mantra for me in regards to how I write my music, because it's based upon what she's taught me. And so she says, tonal languages. In tonal languages, harmonic variations on repeating themes is strongly utilized. Repeating phrases in music are like rhyming phrases in spoken language and allow memorization and accurate retelling of the original story. Easier to learn and remember. Besides the intent of your emotional sending out beyond the edges of time, your music story needs an introduction, a climax, and an ending resolution. Use this idea of repeated music phrases and themes so clearly that your audience can easily recall it and, quote, hum it all the way home. In your musical writing, set the intent of desire to feel the story within the physical body of your audience by creating a musical phrase that they want to repeat and repeat in their thoughts and memories. Feel inside of themselves spontaneously. I hope this concept is clear. Tini.
Wow, that's beautiful. There you go. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with everybody. I really appreciate that. And thank you for your patience, by the way. My apologies again for this weirdness that's going on today. We might have some coyotes too. I'll let you know. I just saw the dog taking off. Okay. This is going to be one of those moments. Okay. But anyways, thank you for your patience. Yes. I wish I had more. You know, I was going to try and share the screen on this end here. I can only see a small picture of you with a, I can't see, my screen's black, but I'm thinking if I can share the screen on this end, I might be able to play that one video. I don't know. But I'll try and, oops, there she goes. If you hear that, that's the dog next door who likes to chase coyotes. And unfortunately, she's going to wind up getting taken out. So, never mind. Kevin, I love you.
Love you too.
Sorry, it's crazy.
That's okay.
Where's Tina Marie?
I know. This is our first show without Tina Maria. And,
it is.
You know, I've been doing shows with Solaris for like probably 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And and always Tina Maria was there. And we would, in between commercial breaks, the three of us would just chatter mouths off. We had so much to talk about. There was so many cool things to talk about.
It's actually more of a show behind the show. I wish we had saved all that, but we never recorded that. It was anything she felt good about, which I appreciated. But we did have some stellar conversations behind the scenes that, at some point, I said before, I think she'll resurface. But in the meantime, we just say, hey, you know, we send her good waves of energy. And I know she's doing fine. She checks in with me once in a while, so she's doing good. But you know, it's interesting.
I loved hearing about it.
Oh, what's that? Go ahead.
I was thinking, I loved hearing about, you know, when she talked about the train store.
Oh, yeah.
Go into detail about that.
It seems like she's digging that quite a bit. I was going to ask you, you know, I know you and I had something in common about my relative flew 49 missions to Germany. He was a fighter pilot. And I was it your granddad that was the?
Yes, my grandfather. Yeah, my grandfather was a communications officer on board a B-17 bomber.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's something similar thread in the fabric there. Comes down to our ancestors. Interesting stuff right there. So and you know, if you were worried about your bird making noise,
you
hear
fine.
That dog,
I can hear, I mean, the dogs. Yeah,
she's like, she's not my dog, she's the main house next door, but she comes over here, she's little. So anyways, I digress. I told him to keep her indoors, but that's another story, everybody. All right, so where do you want to go from here? I was going to mention a few more things about, I wanted to talk about the extraterrestrial design work, and it's right when you come down to the things that are going on with the obfuscation connected to the German technologies. And I think that really is the honing in on that when it comes down to their technology versus what's going on today. And so far as how people have borrowed that technology and have pretty much run with it, what's your take on some of the black technologies departments these days and where they're heading?
Well, it's interesting. I was just watching a video that Dr. Stephen Greer released just recently talking about, he said it was the year 1956 when humans broke through and mastered anti-gravity. And we've had that technology since 1956. And then it was a year later that's when Eisenhower started building highways, but we could have had free energy as of 1956. So, and you can imagine how far they must have taken the technology since that time, with the ships and the stuff that these black ops have been creating, and where these programs are now. I personally don't know a lot about it. You know, I have friends who are former SSP, I don't dwell too much into, you know, dive in too much into it, because it's just so complicated and so messed up.
You know. It's definitely messed up. Well, from what I've seen, they're trying to break away with their version of technology, but they're going to get snuffed out. And I can tell you why, because they're in the wrong space time. And when they're navigating, they're going to be in the same space time configuration of what they've created here. So that's not going to get them anywhere, in my opinion anyway. But yeah, I've seen a lot of that going on when it comes down to how they're trying to cloak everything. And once again, create the narratives and control the narratives. And I see a lot of that in the UFO community. So I kind of broke in orbit with a lot of that. But I still navigate with where I've been with my technologies and the way I'm able to interface and just do my own thing. But yeah, I think it's interesting. I think that's really a trigger when it comes down to German technology and the Nazi technology in connection to extraterrestrial design. I find that people get really freaked out when they hear about that sort of thing, especially nowadays. And I think that's, to be honest with you, I think that's one of the reasons we're having problems today, just to be honest with you. I don't think it's an accident that I'm not able to play that song. I just don't. So there's no such thing as coincidence where I come from. And the stuff that's been going on today, when I told you the black helicopter early.
Yeah. So, and the fact
is what
that
it
my,
is, but,
yeah, my video was banned from YouTube when I first released it. You know, no surprise.
I'm not even paranoid. It's just that I'm aware. And as I mentioned, when you start seeing things like on a daily basis, you get kind of used to it and calibrated for it. So, you know, seeing black helicopters isn't a big deal for me. Seeing this kind of activity doesn't really shock me. But it's very frustrating, especially when we're trying to do a really good show. And I want to support your music and play it here. And, you know, all the stuff's going on. It's really infuriates me, quite honestly. So anyways, I know you're very chill and I'm very fiery. So that's just the way it is. Fire and ice.
Fire and ice.
I'm the fire dragon today. You can be the ice dragon today.
All right. I love it. I love it. I love it. I'll be the ice dragon.
That's good. So what are you working on right now? What tunes are you working on that people can?
I have a bunch of songs that I kind of demos that I had written a couple years ago that I hadn't done anything with them. I just been sitting with it. I haven't written anything new within the last 2 years just because of everything that's been going on with the planet. And just kind of, you know, anticipating basically Armageddon with, you know, a micronova happening and kind of taking out the planet and taking out the grid. But I've changed things around a lot this year and I've had major inspiration and my health has never been better and I've been taking care of myself. And then I really got inspired in the last couple of weeks to get back and start back in the studio and start writing again. And so, this new song just came together once again, like in one take. And you've heard the demo. It's called Dragon's Blood. Mm-hmm. And I'm great. starting to work on that song. So cool. Really nice chord progression. It's funny because like I love metal. You know, metal's definitely in my blood. But my music when I write is not aggressive like that. More of a energy that you'd find like in Rush and Tool, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
that's you have a Rush signature. I know that.
Yeah.
I still love you.
I know.
But you can tell they were a main influence for you, especially being Canadian. So
yeah,
that makes sense. So that's,
So that kind of energy that Rush has and that kind of development of chord progressions that are more flowery chord progressions. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but it's just that the chord progressions are, there's more chord changes, but borrowing of melodic lines and signatures with inside the chord progression. A lot of stuff that Alex Lifeson does. Mm-hmm. So, and his chords really tell stories in the music, which is what I really like.
I still. Very pretty.
You know, I still love, you know, riffing songs with, you know, good riffs. You know, I'm in two bands. I got Pyramids of Mars and I work with a fantastic bass player. We're just starting to get out there and play gigs now. And I also am in a cover band and we've been together for a couple of years and we play so many Foo Fighters songs. It's not funny. You know,
nice.
love the Foo Fighters. We also play some Eagles, some, you know, Beatles, a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, that sounds cool. So you guys go, is it every weekend or how often do you do that gig?
Yeah, every week we get together. We played a street concert last year, which was great. So we set up in Mark and Lynn's driveway and we had like 40 or 50 people show up. And they just bring their lawn chairs and they watch. The other cool thing was that that show, the Ponte, actually did show up. And they're invisible, but I know that they were there and they were street dancing and really enjoying themselves because I invited them.
Nice.
They love music. They love dancing. That's one of the things that they love to do. They learn all kinds of earth dances, traditional dances, even older dances from the 1940s and 50s, you know, like the line dancing, or you know, like the with the cane and, you know, Charlie Chaplin kind of thing. They learn Japanese dances. They learn flamenco, you name it.
Very nice.
They love that kind of stuff.
Sounds fun.
They also, you know, I play concerts for the Ponte here in my condo and in my apartment. And when I do a Pyramids of Mars concert, it's a full show. I've got backdrops, so I've got banners behind me. I've got stage lights. I dress up. I sometimes wear gothic kilts. I wear.
You always look black. Great, by the way. You dress well.
Well, thank you.
Kudos to you on that. Yeah.
And I wear black eyeliner, and I go to town, and I put on really great shows for the Ponzi. And one of the things that they really work with me over the years is telepathic storytelling through music, communicating music on a telepathic level, which is an emotional wavelength, playing with as much passion as you can, and focusing on those energies to bring them out. And I've been told by the Ponte, even Grayson said, Kevin, you play to the soup. That's very rare. When he says play to the soup, he means the collective consciousness. So I'm playing to Star Nations who hear my music telepathically, and that goes beyond space-time. So they hear me at those levels.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's kind of interesting because 20 years ago, 24 years ago, that was Frisco, by the way.
He's so cute. He's nothing compared to me. He probably heard me gripe and say, hey, I'm chiming in now.
But I remember, in my old band, somehow I knew, I had this envision of playing outdoor concerts and UFOs showing up and communicating with them. And it's many years later that I understand why I saw that concept. Is because what was taught to me within the last 7 years about telepathic communication through music. And so that's what I work on and focus on. The Ponte give me criticism. They critique my shows. They say my playing was fantastic. Telepathic communication was fantastic. But you need more dance moves.
Oh, really?
They always complain about that. Yeah. It's like they want dance moves. They want a choreographed dance for each song so they can each participate in it.
Well, can't you do some kind of holographic thing in the background? You never know.
I don't know.
That sounds very interesting. That's cool. I love that.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
That's but I should probably tell people, like, they're probably saying, who the heck are the Ponte? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I should back up a bit. The Ponte are grays. Zetas, think of your typical extraterrestrial with, 4 feet tall, large gray heads, black eyes, thin looking bodies. That's the Ponte. But keep in mind that there are several different groups of grays or zetas on the planet. There's probably about seven that visit this planet at least. The Ponte, they're not clones. They're not biological robots. They're not a hive mind. No, they're as individual as we are. They all look, they all have facial characteristics that give them individuality. And they also have their own specialties. So they have areas of focus and interest of what they study. So, women like Jurity, she's a Star Nation, she's communications, relations. So she meets people when they arrive at the Sandia Mountain Information Station base, that's underneath Albuquerque, New Mexico, 2 miles underground. So ships arrive with different Star Nations, and she knows a lot of the people and talks to them and asks, hey, how's your kid? How's your son, Abu? Doing or whatever, she knows people. Tilkum, he's the commander of the Ponte. He's been here since probably at least 2000. They've been preparing humanity for official first contact. That's the reason why they're here, and it needs to happen sooner than later because we are running out of time. They really are. Radar, he's a buddy of mine. His specialty is in he had to watch every single TV series and movie that has to do with extraterrestrials to understand what humans' concept are of what they think ETs are. So he's had to watch all these movies. He's also a stellar cartographer and one of their hot ace pilots. But that also gets him into trouble too, because he operates on the border of brinkmanship. So he gets himself into trouble. You know, he dings up his skippership sometimes, and then he has to get it repaired, and then he has to fill out reports because he's got himself into trouble the last couple of years doing things he's not supposed to, and so then he's constantly being monitored. Poor guy.
Well, that's a bummer. We know how that is, right?
Yeah, well, it kind of started about 2.5 years ago when one of the Twitter followers came on to Twitter and started talking about how they had a flash memory where they were actually allowed to remember. Radar picked them up and radar allowed them to fly their skipper ship. And that's a no-no.
Hold on for a second there. Sorry, Kevin, we're heading for a quick break. Everybody, we'll be right back. You listen to Hyperspace Night Files with Kevin Estrella and myself. Thank you. Hold on.
Natural law. You enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement.
Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom every Saturday night between 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Studio B. It's the Jonathan Wright Show.
Find it right here at revolution.radio.
We talk about decentralization and then annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? but you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hyperspace Knife Files here on Revolution Radio. You're listening to Studio A. I am your host, Solaris Blue Raven. My wonderful guest is Kevin Estrella. Once again, apologies for the late show. It wasn't our fault, the illusion of space-time. And by the way, anybody who's trying to text me, I see that you're trying to message me. I don't know who you all are on my Skype. I cannot see any messages, so don't bother. Okay? I'm completely black. Must be a sign. Anyways, Kevin, you were discussing the Ponte and each character.
Yeah. Basically, to tell you about the Ponte, the...
I said that wrong. Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, the Ponte, they've been here. They've been, they discovered Earth 125,000 years ago. But they they're working towards official first contact with humanity. And that is the main mission why they're here. Besides the fact that they are cultural explorers, but they also, they actually are really not that much different than us. They all have different personalities. They all have their own likes, their own dislikes, their hobbies. What they like to do, they're as individual as we are, and they like to go on vacations too and do stuff. Radar likes to go jumping, off of waterfalls and into, diving into deep water. Drudy, one of her favorite things to do she calls it sky kiting. So she and one of her girlfriends will go down to somewhere in South Africa, and with all these, basically like bowerbirds, like these flocks of birds that kind of swoop around, stuff like that. Over water, and they look like they create different images and stuff. What they do is, it's all voluntary. They will telepathically merge with the birds and try and create images with the birds. And sometimes that's why people will see pictures that have been snapshot of these, thousands of birds, tens of thousands of birds that now look like a face. Or they look like a dolphin, or they look like one, like an eagle or something like that. It's not hype. It's not pareidolia. That's actually somebody, some star nation is sky kiting and working with the birds, and they telepathically merge. So they do all kinds of stuff like that. They've been great teachers for me, and the way I ended up, finding them was a good friend of mine. Many years ago, 7 years ago, told me that there was extraterrestrials using Twitter. And I was like, you're going to be kidding me. He says, yes, at Sandia Wisdom. And so I decided to check it out. And back in 2006, at that point there was only four of the Ponte who were on Twitter, which is Radar, Tilcom, Jurdy, and Teeny. And I eventually realized that they were the real deal. And then I started doing private direct messages with them. And they have a telepath. Her name is Sue Walker. And her husband, White Otter, he's a shaman. He's telepathic too. And so Sue does all the tweeting on behalf of them. So she's a telepathic translator. They talk, she listens, and then she types. And she's been doing this for 8 years. And And, you know, she's been, you know, she and Otter have dedicated their lives to the Ponte to get their word out, to get their message out, because they've learned so much about them. And they are trying to teach their culture. They're trying to educate us about what's going on with the planet, the changes that are going on the planet, and to bridge our, you know, our cultures for the first time in kind of human history to a massive level. And that's basically what it's about. Mm-hmm. And I've learned from them. And there's so much that they can teach that goes beyond our understanding of concepts of, you know, the three-dimensional worlds. You know, when they teach about the elementals, about cloud shifts and, you know, shit, clouds turning into different things, with, you know, because of the elementals, this stuff is real. They talk about archaeoplanetography. And archaeoplanetography is the study of the geographic structures. Basically, if you use Google Earth and look from above and look at different areas, and if you look carefully, you will start to see images within inside the landscape, faces, animals, people, actually written in the land, the landscape. And that, you know, you can zoom out, you can zoom in, and you'll get more and more of these images. It's not pareidolia. Sue has spent years studying this stuff, and she has outlined thousands and thousands and thousands of these archaeoplanetography images. Mm-hmm. What is this all about, and why is it significant? It is extremely significant because it tells the history of the planet. So when you see these images that are written in these different areas, it's actually telling the history of that area. And this is what they're, what extraterrestrials will be teaching humanity when we have official first contact, so that when we start to become spacefaring citizens, Star Trek is our future. They've told us that. Star Trek is our future.
Yeah, it's beyond that. But I see what you're describing is, and what you're communicating, in my opinion, is connected to those who are just now aware, becoming aware of cosmic intelligence or something beyond it. Beings like us are descendants of the visitor. So we're kind of we're immune to a lot of that. It's just me. I'm just saying. But we're way beyond the spectrum of that. But I find that we'll be traversing the galactic highway sooner than later. And I think that's really what it boils down to. And it's interesting you're discussing the imagery. Because a lot of that is like, you know, we've heard of psychic imprinting. Sometimes I think it takes the formula of what you're describing too. It's like a record, a recording that's there as an imprint where people can access it on a different scale. So I think that's very interesting. Something to take note of when you're observing.
Yeah, because this is what they're teaching, because they say that before, you know, when we start becoming spacefaring and starting to explore other planets, like, you know, like this, the Enterprise did, you will be studying the archaeoplanetography of the planet before you even put boots on the ground, so that you understand the history of the planet, because it'll be written in the planet itself. It's a time-stamped history of each planet. The Ponte have been, they had their official first contact about just over 4 million years ago. They've been traveling the galaxies for 4 million years. And what they have said is that they have found archaeoplanetography on every planet, every moon, and every star that they've ever encountered. So it's very important. Now, the other question is how is that even possible? How is this even possible? Who did it? Who's responsible for this?
Me.
Well, the answer, it's you. It might be.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
It's the fire dragons. It's the fire dragons.
It is the fire dragons. Damn it. We should burn down your city if you piss us off. Stop it. You'll freeze the city. Maybe you're a fire. I think you're a fire dragon too, though.
That could be.
You are. I've seen your dragons. Show me those dragons.
I love my dragons. I have lots of dragons all over the place.
Love them. I do too.
Yeah. But actually, the real answer is it's the builders. So the builders who build planets, it's a gift from the builders. So it's pretty complicated when you start, understanding builder gods and the creator, and that these builder gods work for the creator, but they help with the planet. So
I call them architects, but yeah.
Yeah, architects, yeah. So so that's why it's important. So the Ponti are here to help teach these different things, to help prepare us for, when we are able to get over, be able to merge our societies with the Star Nations and humanity being welcomed into the Federation.
Just make sure it's not this corporate government here on this terraform rock called Earth.
Yeah, no, no. trying to welcome.
They won't exist by then.
The real, the good, the right minded people.
Right.
Not the ones who are trying to control the planet and enslave us.
Yeah, it's just enough of that crap. We're done with it. We're done with it. But that's excellent. Thank you for sharing that information. I don't know if we've ever really talked about that before. So it's nice to have you give everybody an update. And also, yeah, they probably did want to know who your ET friends were. So, and yeah, you can follow them. Of course, they follow you on Twitter. And of course, they can follow them on Twitter as well, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Or so I guess it's X now. Yeah.
It's, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But
whatever.
Yes, I still call it Twitter. Yeah.
I still call it Twitter.
You can follow them at they're at Sandia Wisdom is the Twitter handle, and the other thing is for people who want to make contact with extraterrestrials, there is a way to do it, and I'm going to tell you how. So you go to the Ponti's website, which is called officialfirstcontact.com. That's officialfirstcontact.com, and you go and download the Telepathy 101 Primer. It is a free download. It's available in about 19 languages, and it will teach you about telepathy and how to develop your telepathic communication. And you'll start to understand that telepathy is more than just thoughts, images, words, hearing, depending on your learning strategies of how you learn best. Some people are visual. They can memorize stuff through visually. Other people are more audio. Other people are more kinesthetic, where it like touch. But many of us are kind of a combination of all of these. And so telepathy is communicated in multiple different ways through these. And then you can then hone in on where your strengths are to how you can communicate. If you're more visual, maybe you want to send more visual pictures to somebody. If you're audio, maybe you want to send more of an audio, But it's also telepathy is communicated on a telepathic way, or sorry, an emotional wavelength. Very important. And there's also parts of the brain that are activated that you want to activate when you are communicating telepathically, and focus on those areas in your brain, which are the amygdala area and the pineal gland. So kind of like in the center of your brain. So the more that you're able to light that up in your mind and then communicate at a higher emotional length. So the more emotional oomph that you can give when communicating, that's when they will hear you more, because it's communicated on this wavelength. It's kind of like building up your energy and your emotions into a snowball and then throwing it at the person who you want to communicate with. That's how it's going to help you.
That's more of an organic version, I would suspect. The technological stuff I've been through is beyond. There's no emotional body involved or mental body. I think I probably told you that, because it's all interconnected with tech. But it's very, there's none of that. But I think what you're describing is more of the consciousness-related, organic way of communication with these beings.
Organic.
Which makes more sense on that level, because when you're interconnected with the machines, they don't want you having any emotional content whatsoever or even a mental. I mean, mental is okay, but they certainly, it's all interface. It's none of that in between, which is very interesting. So a nice contrast right there when it comes down to their version versus something else.
the organic version versus mm-hmm. the synthetic.
Right. And I know that one very well. Of course, they're using it now with all their personnel, the stuff that I've been through. They're going full speed ahead with it. So, yeah, very interesting stuff going on right now behind the scenery. And you know what? I was thinking about trying to share a screen and see if I can play your video. What do you think?
Sure.
I don't know if it's going to work or not, so I hope I don't blow anything up. Are you? Oh, no, if you're still talking, though, I want you to talk, though. Are you finished with that?
Well, the other thing is, like, because the important things about telepathy, it's communicated on an emotional wavelength. And other ways to help you develop your telepathy is, you know, if there's somebody who you want to talk to, envision them. You know, envision what they look like when you want to talk to them. Because everybody has an energy signature. So when you vision the vision, or you vision, you know, in your mind, vision the person who you want to speak to, and the emotions that are that you have connected to that person, you'll hone in on their telepathic signature, and then you're able to ping them, and they'll be able to hear you more clearly. That's why, you know, I have great telepathic communication with Sue and some other friends. And some people can probably relate to this, where, you know, their spouse or their girlfriend or boyfriend, they seem to be really connected at a level. It's because they're familiar with their signature, each other's signature, and they're more sensitive to it. So mm-hmm. many people will be able to relate to this.
Yeah, psychic linking. And also, make sure you ask permission. I have just my two cents on that, because nobody likes to be intruded upon unless they have permission to do so.
Well, that too, yeah.
I just, well, that's just me, because I might just put up the flag. People start bombarding. I'm used to that. But anyways, what I'd like to do is see if I can share your screen or share it and at least play this video okay. for you. I don't know if it's going to work. Let's see. If it blows up everybody, oh, damn, it's not going to work. It might, though. Hold on. It's black screen. Do you see black screen over there?
No.
Oh, damn. This is insane. Okay, you guys, tell me if you can hear this. And I don't even know if it's good quality or not, but it looks like it's sharing. Let me look. Hold on. What I'm seeing right now, oh, it's not going to let me share audio, is it? Because there's nothing there. I can. This is the most annoying thing I've ever seen. Yeah, it's sharing the screen, but I can't share the audio part. I can try. Yeah, you guys, it's anything. Probably going to be crappy. Oh, you can't hear it. Well, I'm not playing it yet. Let me, can you hear this?
Oh.
Can you hear that?
I don't hear anything.
Okay, never mind then. All right, you can't hear it. Yep, that's the way it's going to roll, because it's not going to let me play it. Okay, I tried. Too bad. Okay.
You tried.
Yeah, it's still messed up. I'm still trying to unshare the screen. Okay, but that's fine. We'll do it another time in the Illusion of Space Time. But you know what? Speaking of which, tell everybody about your great show. I've been happy to be a guest over there. It's been fabulous.
Yes, I've had Solaris on my show at least three or four times. My show is on the Artist First Network, so it's easy to find, artistfirst.com. Pyramids on Mars, UFO Radio, is my show. So you'll see my picture right in the center of the main page. My show has been running since about 2016. I do a show once a month. There's probably about, you know, maybe 80 archived shows there. You can go and listen to any show, just click on the date and download the content and listen to the interviews. So I just recently discovered the stat. I just got the stats on my show from Scott. My show has been listened to about 500,000 times. So on average, my shows are getting about 6,000 listeners. Some shows have done exceptionally well, like my biggest show was with, I interviewed John Lear, and he's known as the godfather of conspiracy theories, and he was talking about 9/11 and how he believes that it was done by holograms and, what do you call it, and direct energy weapons. Mm-hmm. And that show got about 50,000 hits. So
yeah, he was amazing. I remember having him on Dark Matter, and every time, I swear to God, every single time when I was to interview him, we'd have somebody calling his line to run interference every single time. And Keith Rowland noticed that. It was just like, this is unbelievable. But yeah, I had the privilege of interviewing him as well. And he was He's awesome, but he's gone now. But he's in another universe.
He's in another universe. He's gone. Yeah. He's gone to see the Great Pumpkin.
I hope not, man. I hope he's not too disappointed with that.
Well, he even said about, you know, when he died, he wasn't going to go to the light. He was going to go and see the Great Pumpkin.
That's where you want to get away from this space time. You certainly don't want to come back. I don't know anybody who would want to come back to this shit show. Can we be honest with you?
Yeah. My advice is don't go to the light. I've been told this.
Go ahead.
I've been told John Lear said this, and many other people have said this. Do not go to the light. Turn around and look behind you. Because what you're going to see is you're going to see the entire universe behind you. And you can go anywhere. You can say, I want to go home to my home origin. I want to go back to my planet where I came from. And you have that option. If you go through the light, you're going to go back into the illusions, and you will be recycled back here on Earth. If that's what you want, go ahead. If you want other options, turn around.
Yeah, other options, behind please. You.
Look around.
Light cycles on Mars. Correct. Great
light
advice.
Light cycles on Mars, yeah.
Light cycles. That should be a song. That should be a song.
Light cycles on Mars. Oh.
Come on,
yeah.
Kevin.
Oh, I'm writing that one down right now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
I do, too.
Yeah. Hang on, because I've got all these...
Through all the crazy, like I said, you're such a gracious guest, and I'm sorry about my, I was very, very angry early on. People know me. I get very, very pissed off, and then I calm down. It's not even emotional. It's just I wanted to play those songs.
Oh, I got some really cool song titles here. Hang on a sec. Let's write this down.
He's so funny.
Light cycles on Mars. That's awesome.
I want to hear it. When it's ready.
All right.
You'll have to come back on the show. Please come back. Even I promise we'll have better conditions.
Okay. You want to hear some of the cool songs that song titles I got. I got this from my friend. I don't know when he takes CBD gummies, he gets these amazing ideas. So one song is gonna be called Hot Mess of a Gong Show.
Well, that's interesting. That could be an interesting song. Okay.
Another song is called After the Flip.
I like that.
And you know where he got that is because he's a huge vinyl collector.
Oh, really?
And we were listening to some really eclectic rock albums from the 70s. And I said, I was really saying, would you mind putting something else on? And he said, yeah, After the Flip.
Hmm.
And I thought, nice. That's so cool. So I got that. Another one, a couple. My life is one big long day.
Oh my God, that's terrible. Who said that? Was that you?
That's a song title.
No, that's almost depressing.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Well, here's one. Here's one that I got from the movie Fight Club. She's a predator posing as a house pet.
Oh, I love that one. That's good.
I love
That's
it.
Classic, man. Oh, these and are great.
Another song title, Tonight We Make Soap.
Well, that's fun. Oh, my God. These are great.
And
now that we hear these titles, you're going to have to make the real music. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, these are all from Fight Club. And this last one is classic. It's only after we have lost everything that we are free to do anything.
I love that. That's very true.
Yeah.
Yep. No burdens. Travel light.
Yeah. There you go. So those are
nice.
Those are quotes I got from Fight Club.
I'm sorry, but the winner is Light Cycles on Mars.
Light Cycle on Mars. Yes. That's going to be a song.
Plural. Yeah. Definitely for sure. I like
that. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Very good. So who's your next guest coming up? Yeah. I know you've been shooting the breeze talking on radio for a long time.
Yeah. Actually, my next guest is actually going to be Sue Walker.
So oh, really?
I haven't had her on the show for a while, so we decided we'll have her on the show and get some updates from the Pond Tea. And then it just happens to be that a month later, I am going to visit her in Otter in Albuquerque, New Mexico for the first week of July.
Oh, very nice.
So I'm going to go see them. I'm also going to go see Mark and Jessica from Neck Illusions. So, sweet. You know, the design on my guitar neck, those DNA double helix, mm-hmm. I'm going to go see the company. So I hang out with them. However, what happens to be is that my radio show will be on when I'm actually going to be in Albuquerque. And so what we're going to do is, and we did this last year around September, is we're going to be hosting a live from Sandia Mountain show in Sue's backyard. And we're basically, what we do is we, ahead of time, we take questions from the Sandia, Twitter followers, any questions that they want to ask the Ponte. And then Sue will just basically spend the whole show translating for the Ponte. They'll be on the desk and they will answer your questions. So we'll get all these questions. So anybody who wants a question answered, go to sandiawisdom.com and send in a question, and we'll add that to the questions that we'll be asking. But last year when we did it, we got some amazing information that we ended up talking about music on their planet, on Planet Pontel, and about what kind of music that they listen to or what kind of music it is that they create. Mm-hmm. And it was fascinating. We learned that they have instrumental music too, but they also have music that has words, but their music also will have telepathic images built into it, almost like a music video. Mm-hmm. It'll be actually kind of like incorporated. It'll be incorporated actually into the actual song.
That's tech here. And we use that in Black Ops. Seriously.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Well, psychotronics can mimic it, but there is a technology that can create that.
Okay.
But reverse engineered. But anyways, Mike, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. They also talked about some of their instruments. And believe it or not, they have synthesizers. They call them mimickers. So I said, okay, did MIDI? And they said, what's MIDI? I said, musical instrument digital interface. Basically, when you press a key, it'll be like a sampled sound of, say, like a hummingbird or a saxophone. And they said, that's pretty close to what we've got. However, their synthesizers are more organic. They're alive. So they're able to merge with the consciousness of the synthesizer. And then it does what they're bidding. But they also, they also have filters and, things that they can do with the synthesizers that we have with ours as well. Mm-hmm. But
where is Pontel? Did they ever ask, or did you ever ask them where it was? Where exactly their planet is?
Yeah. It's so the Zeta Reticuli constellation. There are two binary. It's a binary star system. Their planet is orbiting the further star away, and they are the fifth planet orbiting that star. Their planet is, I think, it's a bit smaller than Earth, or maybe a bit larger, but they don't have the extensive oceans that our planet does. They have large lakes, but Earth is quite unique that we are a water planet. And that's why Earth is so important to so many star nations, because it was purposely put in this quadrant, as it was. So a lot of star nations stop at Earth, not to talk to humans. They go to the oceans. We have only been able to have contact with about 25% of the extraterrestrials who visit this planet, because 75% of the ocean, 75% of this planet is covered in oceans, and they are aquatic extraterrestrials that go there. And a lot of them will spend a lot of time communicating with the whales, believe it or not.
Yeah, whales are beautiful. Cetaceans in general. Well, they're the record keepers. Yeah, I touched on that in my book a long time ago.
That's right. They are the record keepers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're
the oldest.
Too. Right. Yeah.
They're the oldest ones. Record keepers.
Mm-hmm. They're very old.
Yep. That's and the.
Go ahead. Is it you or your bird in the background? I'm sorry. Is it you messing around with paper, or is it the bird?
Oh, no. I might be moving around too much.
That's okay, hon. No, it's okay. I was just curious. I thought it was your bird. Go ahead.
No,
sorry.
No, he's gone somewhere. But he's taken off somewhere. I just know that the whales, the story of the whales is known throughout the galaxies. And they're very important species. And a lot of them are being purposely moved off planet right now to save them from the coming Earth disasters. Well, there also a lot of work is being done on many of the cetaceans who have been affected by the Fukushima disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty sad.
Yeah, there's that. And then there's also a lot of naval activity connected to damaging cetaceans as well.
Oh, God, yes.
So, I mean, you know, it's a bombardment of aerial warfare, but it does affect everything, every life form and frequency. Unfortunately, they've been taking a hit. So,
that's
yeah.
so horrible what the military has done with
it's an abuse.
Bombardment of sounds to basically permanently deafen, you know, whales. And that's why the whales beach themselves, because they can no longer hear. Because of effing humans.
True.
God damn it.
I know. And you know, the suffocation through the sky is, if you were to rip a hole, like literally tear it, you would see the real breakaway technology right above our heads. It's unfortunate nobody sees it because we have obfuscation and they have this low Earth orbit thing that's going on. But that's something to look at, maybe something to communicate with your friends. I know that there's stuff built right over our heads right now. Huge. So we might want to run that by them and see what they come up with. But I can find that. And I find that if people were just to look up and see it, besides the chemtrails and the illusions of geoengineering, because that's all they're going to see. And once in a while, maybe something from SpaceX or NASA pretending to do something linear. But I'm saying there's so much more. And if we just turn it just a little bit, just kind of tilt it a little bit more, we'll be able to see everything, which I think is really the end game. This is my two cents, but yeah. Well, I'm happy you're taking a trip. I think that's going to be fun. Where else are you going? Yeah. Just there?
Just there for now. Yeah. Sue and I we're actually planning on taking a drive up to Sandia Mountain.
Sweet. So, that should be fun. Well, maybe I'll see you again.
Maybe.
Have fun. You may want to stay there.
I might. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my purpose to go to Albuquerque is just to eat as much Mexican food as I can.
Oh. Hey, so what about the mountain? What are you going to do up there?
Take pictures. See if we can see the Pontee, because we know that they're up there.
Yeah, there are a lot of things up there.
I'm sure.
If I were you, I'd get in. You probably have a green card to get in, an access card. I don't call it a green card.
Well, I know that I've been there. I know that I've been to the Sandia Mountain several times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it, but I find out afterwards of what's been going on, and they tell me, you know, Sue tells me what they were taking, where they took me, what was going on at that time, and stuff like that. Last year was interesting because I ended up, you have to understand, people, there is an interesting relationship between extraterrestrials and Sasquatch. And the Pontee, like Radar, his best friend is a 19-year-old Sasquatch named Kie. Kie's family, their clan lives in the Valdez Caldera in New Mexico. I've had many encounters with Sasquatch. I'm very blessed of those encounters. One of them met me in my apartment here in downtown Hamilton in interdimensional form. Showed up one time and literally wrapped his arm around my back and gave me a hug. And I got a telepathic grunt that just made my whole body just shake. Like, my whole body shook. I got a hug from a Sasquatch. However, when I go and visit with Sue and Otter, the Sasquatch are very active there. So, and how do they do that? It's quite interesting. I sleep in their camper out in the front of their property. So they, you know, the driveway, I they have a camper, and I go in and I sleep there. But every time I've gone to visit Sue and Otter, and I step into the camper to start getting ready for bed, the camper starts to rock back and forth really slowly, like if I'm on an ocean. And I step outside, I look around, I don't see anything. I go back in and it starts to rock back and forth again. And then I found out that it's actually the Sasquatch are doing that. They're rocking the camper back and forth. They've done this many times. They've also banged on the camper late at night, like really loud, like bam, to scare the crap out of me. And I look outside, I go around, and nobody's there, but they do that.
Does she have any solar lights or cameras or anything like that she could pick up or no?
I don't think they have any cameras set up. I wonder why they don't. They should
tell her to. I would be curious. You know, I have infrared. I use binoculars and stuff, and I've seen things on this property that are just unbelievable. Not that, but I've seen things.
I've got an infrared camera too that I've got set up, and mm-hmm. I've captured a few interesting things.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
The reason I've got it is to be able to capture the Ponte because they've now been given permission to be photographed. So I've got this camera, so I know eventually that I will get them on camera here because they show up here all the time. Mm-hmm. But I'm still waiting to capture something really, really cool.
Well, your drawings of them are beautiful that Sue has done. I don't know if she sells drawings like that. Is that something she'll do for everybody or is it just for you specifically?
Oh, no, she definitely sells them. Yeah. Oh,
they're gorgeous. They're really nice. She's quite the artist. She really is.
Her artwork is just phenomenal. And she does portraits of the Ponte, portraits of the Sasquatch. And when the Sasquatch, when she does a portrait of the Sasquatch, it's actually she sees what they look like because they show themselves telepathically. And then she draws their picture, and then later that night, the Sasquatch will show up at their place and look at the picture and then be able to critique it and tell what needs to be changed and then tell her. Mm-hmm. So they showed up. The Sasquatch showed up when I was there, and Sue and I were in the backyard doing a test run for some documentary work that we were doing on a laptop, and we could hear something with inside their garden that was extremely heavy footed walking around about 20 feet away from us. And we could hear somebody like taking like the grapes that were hanging were being shuffled around. And we found out later there was a Sasquatch that was in the backyard with us and he was like helping himself to grapes.
Well, so that's funny. So she has a grape yard. That's excellent.
Oh, it's they have half an acre garden, so it's like fruits and vegetables. It's beautiful. That's what I will probably end up spending a lot of my vacation time doing is helping with the gardening.
Well, that's so nice. It's very peaceful too. What do you do with your bird when you're away? Your kids take care of it?
I put them in the freezer. You know, cryogenic freezer.
Oh yeah, sure. They can't come with you.
No, he actually goes and stays with my mom and dad.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, he loves hanging out with them. So.
Cool. That's sweet. I'm sure they enjoy his company. He's a cute little bird. Yeah. Well, have a safe trip over there. I'm sure you'll enjoy yourself. I'm itching to take a trip too. I've been too restless.
Well, I always end up flying right over top of you because
I ran into you in the airport the last time. Remember? That was so funny.
I know. That was awesome.
What are the chances? There are no chances. You know, that happens.
Yeah. It was like, it was Albuquerque airport and Solaris and I had, we were guests at a UFO conference and happened to be that she was right behind me or I was right behind her when we were in the airport. So we got to hang out for a bit.
And they actually let us through.
They did.
I love. They're pretty nice to you when you're traveling, right? Because Canada's pretty mellow now. Has it gotten worse or how's traveling over there?
It's gotten better. It's not as Nazi as it used to be.
That's good.
It was bad. COVID was so bad. I was turned away at the airport.
Why?
Because I wasn't vaccinated.
Oh, that? Really?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Oh, wow, man.
And, but get this, you know, because I have my Canadian passport, the United States would not allow me if I didn't have COVID vaccine. And they said if I had a U.S. passport, then I would be able to go through.
Mm. And you have
that makes total sense. I do now. it wasn't renewed at the time, so I've got I got both my passports renewed now, so they cannot stop me from coming back to the United States because I am a U.S. citizen. So,
were you born here or what?
Yes, I was.
I thought you were born in Canada.
No. I was born in Buffalo, New York.
Oh, that's right. Oh, how could I have forgotten that? You know, it's very interesting because you have such an accent. Canadian accent.
Take off, eh?
You do, you do, hoser. I know you like your wine, too.
Oh, I love my wine.
I like your wine, too, but you haven't sent me a bottle.
Oh,
but...
I know.
Eventually, I'll get one.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm glad you got through all that. Yeah, I'm not putting up with that either. I'm not playing their jab game anymore. I'm not playing anyway. I never took it either. So I'm not planning on it. You know,
no, most people are awake now. A lot of people are awake now. And, you know, it definitely was it's a depopulation agenda. They've discovered, you know, the self-assembling nanotechnology that's inside these shots. Even Bill Gates has recently admitted to, you know, the self-assembling nanotechnology that's in the shots. Mm-hmm. So the truth is slowly coming out of, you know, what this was all really about. But unfortunately, we're going to see a massive die-off of people within the next 5 to 15 years.
So you're saying the people that actually took it from those people?
Yes, people who actually took it because it's a genetic, this is a genetic experiment. Mm-hmm. And we have no idea of the damage that this is going to do genetically. And that's why people are getting turbo cancers and spike protein buildup in their brains, in their bodies, in their liver, in their, you know, in their testes, in their ovaries. It, you know, it passes the blood-brain barrier. Right. You know, it build these spike proteins build up in the brain so that you end up, you know, becoming, you know, having dementia. People are going blind because the spike proteins are causing clots in the eyes. Also, these spike proteins are building up blood clots that embalmers are pulling, several feet of these strange looking clots they've never seen before except in the last 3 years. But this is all conspiracy theory stuff.
No, I've seen that stuff. That's not fake. That is not a circus act. And you know, it's interesting. I'm thinking that the people that did get injected are definitely spreading whatever it is. And to regular people who are not in, who didn't take it. So that's another thing to look at, the bleed through effect of contamination connected to these people.
Yeah, they call it, what do you call it? Spike protein shedding.
Yeah, that's it.
Shedding effect.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that, and I find that that's highly possible, if you ask me, although they're thinking that the people that didn't get injected are the ones. And I'm like, no, they're not contaminated with anything. They're not spreading anything. It's the people that have this thing in their system, in their entire bloodstream. So, yeah, it's very interesting how that's going to pan out. So, yeah, but I've seen the people that have been injected, and they seem healthy. The people that I've, you know, I know a few of them, actually, that seem to be okay, but that doesn't mean they're going to be okay next few years.
Yeah. Well, it's also, there's a lot of factors involved because some batches were worse than others.
Right.
And some batches were faulty because of the, you know, the temperature that they had to hold them at, which I'm really hoping that's the case where some people will, you know, they will survive and they'll be fine because all my children were forced shot behind my back. My wife, my ex did it without my permission. And I had no say in the matter, and I found out afterwards my kids had to hide it because they were ashamed. They were ashamed because she threatened them.
What kind did she get, or they get? Do you know which one it was? Or
I think it was a Pfizer.
Was it the Pfizer? Okay.
Yeah. But they only got the first two shots, no boosters, thank God.
Yeah, that's all just insanity.
My kids seem okay, and I'm just praying to God that nothing happens to them.
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer you know how to create and manifest. I'm a firm believer we can heal our body, so we can certainly decontaminate to some degree, and we can transmute alchemically whatever it is that doesn't belong in our system.
Well, they actually do have, there are cures for detoxification. Mm-hmm. So anybody who wants those cures, follow Dr. Peter McCullough. Go to his website because they have stuff. I think there's three things you take, and it helps to, clear body of spike protein. So Dr. Peter McCullough has come up with this stuff.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we were just living in a different configuration of space time. We don't have to deal with these people anymore because honestly, it's like we need a spacesuit beyond a spacesuit just to be here, you know?
Yeah.
This suit isn't even good enough considering the contamination and the bombardment we get from day to day.
Well, there's so much bombardment with the chemtrails, the nanotechnology that they're spraying in the air to fill our bodies up with graphene oxide, the 5G that we're bombarded with.
It's beyond 5G. I mean, that's nothing compared to the frequencies they're loading up. And the thing is, because I can tell I'm hypersensitive to the frequency bands, and I'm telling you, man, there's some major stuff going down here in the United States. I don't know about Canada, but I can tell you here in the U.S., especially my state, it is a freaking nightmare. It is a nightmare energetically, you know, on a technological scale. So, yeah, no surprises, but they're powering up for something.
Yeah.
No doubt about that, but we're powering up too. It's a different way. And your music is powering up. And once again, people can support your music and buy your music on pyramidsonmars.com.
Yes. Go to my website, pyramidsonmars.com. There's a link there that'll take you to Bandcamp where you can get my music there. You can get CDs, you can get it digital, whatever you want.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's also available on streaming platforms too, but I really discourage streaming platforms because it doesn't pay. You know, the artists don't get paid.
No. Do you ever consider doing your live band music, like the one you're doing with your gigs, on streaming? Would that benefit you financially to have you guys do that cover?
Actually, that is exactly what I am working towards, which will be happening in the very near future, will be Pyramids on Mars live concerts via live Facebook and Twitter, live Twitter and live YouTube.
Very good.
So I've already been working on that with a friend. And I've got all the technology that I need now in order to be able to set it up so it has good audio and good video, and I'll be able to play concerts here right in my condo, straight live. Nice. So that
very
is happening.
Convenient.
Awesome. That is happening.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's going to be fantastic. Yeah, I think that's great. I'm sure the listeners will love that. Yeah, and your show. Once again, remind everybody how to listen to your show.
Oh, yes. Pyramids on Mars. Sorry, it's the Artist First Network. And just click on Pyramids on Mars, and you can click on any of the archives to listen to any past shows. It's totally free.
Yeah, he does a fabulous job. You're an awesome guest, too, and so polite and so sweet. So thank you for being here today. We have a few more minutes, plus or minus. But yeah, you know, I got a little fired up there, but I'm good now. But still not very good. You know me, man. I'll find a way to get back at whatever that was about. So
yeah, you're the fire. I'm the ice.
Yeah. Sometimes I can be ice too, but tonight, nah. I'm a fire dragon today. I'll be a fire dragon for a while, I think. I'll be toned down a little bit. Have you seen anything insofar as how's the activity in your house? I know we've talked about sightings, and you've had some interesting fingerprints, or I guess you would call them that.
Yeah, there's been some pretty crazy stuff that the Ponte have done within the last 6 months. So they like to leave handprints around my place to let me know that they've been here. If I leave something dusty, they will find a way of leaving their handprints. And I know it's their handprints because they only have four fingers, and their fingers are about only two-thirds the width of ours. So they're very kind of long and narrow. But their fingers are also about an inch to 2 inches longer than ours. So if you look at your hand and you look at your pinky, just imagine your pinky twice as long as it normally is, and then all the fingers lining up to that. That's kind of what their hands look like. So double the size of your pinky, and then their fingers are completely flat across, and that's what it is, like four fingers. Mm-hmm. So they leave handprints around here. My buddy Grayson, he's one of the Ponte, and he was responsible for a lot of songs on my last album, Cosmic Angels, because he actually purposely retuned one of my guitars, my Gibson Les Paul, to a Baroque setting at 528 hertz solfeggio frequency. So songs like Left Panzer, which you listened to, and several other songs were retuned to this Baroque tuning. It's a baritone, not Baroque. It's baritone setting. And it was done at 520 hertz. It was Grayson who did this. But he also likes to play pranks on me. He was the first person to leave a handprint in my apartment. However, one morning I woke up, and in my bedroom, I have an accent wall behind me, which is this red Venetian plaster. And it looked really dusty for some reason. It just didn't look right. And a couple days later, I finally realized when the sun was shining through that what they had done was that they had covered the whole wall in chalk, and then they used their hands and they basically put their fingerprints all the way through my wall and wrote all over my wall. And then I discovered that they did that on all the walls in my bedroom, and I found handprints up on the near the ceiling. And then in the hallway, they took chalk and they chalked up my whole hallway too and left handprints. It was a big practical joke. But then the other big one, which you got to see, mm-hmm. It wasn't until the sun was shining at a certain angle in the hallway that I was able to see right above, right up near my bathroom door on the wall there were these hieroglyphs, these glyphs of a different language, symbols written in chalk. Mm-hmm. And I didn't write them. And they're still there. And Greg Cameron is actually writing a new book. And his book is about, people finding things in their bedrooms or whatever, at the house with handprints and other weird anomalies that have showed up. And I've sent him the pictures. So those pictures will show up in his book. I'm hoping somebody will be able to transcribe or translate what those symbols mean.
You probably know how to do that. I bet you do, subconsciously. But remember we talked about the ultraviolet light? Have you ever used an ultraviolet light over there?
You talked about that. Yeah. No, I haven't done that yet. Yeah. Okay.
I would definitely get one and just kind of look at it. You'll get more details. Could have some on you.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Very, very good. Yeah. Something to look at with people, don't pay attention in their residences sometimes. I would say anybody who has a contactee signature should take a look around and see what's been changed or maybe something that's going on, like what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Sure. Yeah. It's been so nice to have you here. I really appreciate you being on Hyperspace Night Files. And welcome to my nightmare, my friend. Just kidding. It's been one of those evenings, afternoons.
That's okay. We figured it out.
We did figure it out. We just couldn't play your music. But please, if they want to listen to that really cool tune and video, which is awesome, the best way to do that is on
Vimeo. Oh, yeah. If you want to watch the Luff Ponser video, it's on Vimeo. So go to Vimeo and type in Luft Ponser, and you should be able to pull up that music video, which has all the World War II footage with the Hanabu stuff. It's a great video,
great tune. Everything is perfect. And I'm not surprised they took it down. They're imbeciles. But you should put it on Rumble, too. You like Vimeo the best, or is it on Rumble or no?
I did. Actually, it originally was on Rumble, mm-hmm. but for some reason, it doesn't function on Rumble. You'll try and press the button and it won't play. It's like, weird. The heck?
Yeah, that's weird. I was going to say Odyssey too is another place to put it, but it sounds like you have it in the right location for now.
Yeah. At least it's working on Vimeo. I'd like to have it on YouTube, but of course.
Well, like I said, YouTube's cursed for the behavior and the way they've been monitoring people and taking things down with that prejudice is really going to haunt them. In my opinion, I think they're going to go gurgling down the drain. So that's just not cool. And they're making a lot of bad friends. Let's put it that way. Enemies.
Yep.
So keep it up. Absolutely. Keep it up. We don't care. I mean, mine's backed up. And like I said, they're 20 years too late to the party because I was out there way before Google even had an idea. Of course, they took over YouTube. That was the problem. We never had any real problems with YouTube until they took over.
Until Google took over.
Yeah, until they started coming in there and then just, we want to take this down. Look, bitches, you weren't where I've been. They don't know about artificial intelligence the way I do, and yet they want to sit there and take things down. So it's like, no, not on my watch, but they do it anyway. But I have it backed up, and my books are invincible in a sense that they're never going to go away. This isn't going to go away. We're not going to go away. We transmute alchemically, and we are here, and we left a huge signature for people to access insofar as information goes. And like yourself, inspiring people, awakening people, and teaching them on so many different levels. So I really appreciate you doing what you're doing here on this world, the realm.
That's what we do. We're here to educate people. We're not here to prove anything. We awaken the lions, the ones who are awake. We speak our truth and try and speak as clearly as we can, but we don't elaborate or exaggerate, I should say.
and what has happened with me, I be as accurate as I can with my experiences or what the Ponte have taught me or whatever else is going on. You know, my radio show has done very well. And I found out also from the producer, he said that my show is one of the top shows of Artists First, which I didn't, I was kind of surprised at that. He also says, he also says that our shows are being pirated by at least 7 pirate radio shows, many of them in Asia.
Wow.
So
that's a compliment, right?
It's a compliment. Yeah. They'll take it when it's being broadcast live, and then they'll put their own commercials on it and broadcast it to Asia.
I think it's fabulous. Go for it. Wonderful. Well, you're all around the world. See, people know who you are, and your music is just invincible too. And it's so beautiful. I encourage everybody to purchase your work and support your music. It's fabulous.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really the best. It really is. I don't just say that. Love every tune. You never put a bad tune out, ever. You realize that?
I try and hide the bad tunes. I don't.
I'm looking forward to the next chapter of this music, though. These titles you were running off. Yeah, so I want to hear those.
Yes. Yeah, there's some cool stuff coming. There's some cool stuff.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, for sure. What's your next gig with the guys?
Oh, I've been trying to work on something. Yeah, trying to work on something at the Doors Taco Metal Bar in Hamilton.
Sweet.
With a couple other bands.
All right.
There are a lot of awesome metal bands in Hamilton. Holy cow.
Wow. Well,
really,
on that
there's
note,
a lot of talent here.
Thank you so much, my friend. We are out of time. The Illusion. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for your patience. Stay tuned for Life in the Hologram coming up next with Madeline Rudy and Carolyn Bell Tumulty. I'm going to try and sign off this stupid Skype, and we'll see how it goes. Thank you, Kevin. Love you, dear. And
thank you.
Good night.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the 4 most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number 1 is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number 2 is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number 3, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number 4 is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.